Thank you. I think I'm going to have to do something about that picture. Lockdown hasn't been kind to me. But good evening, everyone. Delighted to be participating in this meeting. Each of us will have our own sense of why the innovation strategy matters. And for me, it's about the opportunity and the imperative to capture more UK value from the fantastic insights that come out of our research base and indeed the global stock of knowledge. In other words, making sure that our strengths in research, of which we are rightly proud, actually translate into benefits that people experience across all parts of the UK and UK society. I warmly welcome the publication of the Innovation Strategy and the plan that Indra has just given us an introduction to, because I think together they represent three important developments. Firstly, a specific and emphatic focus on innovation within government. I don't think that we'll ever have the most impactful innovation policy if it's effectively seen as an appendage of research policy, which has sometimes been the case in the past, so this is really important. Secondly, it's a whole of government strategy for innovation. A myriad of policies influence our innovation performance, and with all due respect to the wonderful documents produced in David's time, I think this is the first UK strategy that takes a systems view of innovation. Thirdly, we have a much more empowered Innovate UK, which is absolutely vital for us to punch our weight in innovation. The fourth condition for success that we are, of course, all eagerly awaiting progress on is a spending review settlement that gives us the firepower to enact the vision in the strategy. Without that strong settlement, we risk losing ground at a time when we can ill afford it, a time when we need innovation to be powering and decarbonising our economy. Now, at the core of the innovation strategy is an aspiration to grow the investment in R&D by business. And it's worth just taking a moment to look at where we are now. So, firstly, our business investment in R&D is highly concentrated, both in terms of company and sector. Just five enterprise groups, in other words, enterprises, sorry, you're going to get stiff necks. There are only a few slides. Enterprises under the same owner account for 17% of this, and pharma, auto, and aero together account for about 40% of business investment in R&D in the UK. So I'd suggest that alongside trying to grow the base of companies that invest in R&D, which is clearly essential, we also need to watch rather carefully what today's big spenders are planning to do, because reaching 2.4% without hanging on to them is going to be rather challenging. Secondly, we have a much higher proportion of business R&D financed by the rest of the world than most of our peers, so nearly double the proportion in France or Germany. And around half of business R&D performed in the UK is by foreign-owned businesses. Now, it's a great thing that we can attract so much inward investment, but it also emphasises a point that businesses make to us at the Academy time and time again. They take decisions about where to invest in R&D on a global basis. And that's true even for UK companies. Just because they're born here, it doesn't mean that they're going to continue to invest in R&D here. The third feature of UK R&D that I'd like to touch on is that we have a much lower proportion of R&D funding going into late stage development. So in other words, that's the R&D that takes you from prototype to product than our peers in countries like US, Israel or Japan. That matters because this type of R&D is expensive and it's sticky. Mm. So companies often create manufacturing facilities and so forth alongside these types of investment, which means it can also be a key driver of job creation, especially in less well-served regions. So taken together, these observations point to the importance of ensuring that we really understand how the UK offer stacks up against other countries that could be competing to host business R&D investments, especially those in late stage. Well, the Academy has been seeking to answer that very question over the past few years, and this slide summarises what senior R&D budget holders at a wide range of companies have told us about the UK strengths and weaknesses. There are many great things about the UK. We have an amazing quality of R&D talent, even if quantity and diversity, certainly in engineering, are not sufficient. And while there's always scope for improvement, the environment for collaboration with both other businesses and universities is actually pretty good. Examples of where we fare less well are our ability to provide a joined-up offer across government and to leverage public procurement to drive innovation. The innovation strategy that we've been talking about provides a really good jumping-off point for both building out from these strengths and tackling the areas where we're currently less competitive. And I'm especially keen that we see those positive intentions on Whitehall join-up and procurement followed through into improved innovation outcomes for all the reasons that we were discussing earlier. And in implementing the strategy, I would really encourage the government to think of the customer journey faced by business. Don't worry, I don't expect anyone to read the detail of this slide, but it's an example of how the Academy has been combining systems mapping techniques and user journeys to describe how different sorts of companies experience our innovation offer, from IP to infrastructure, from regional support to regulation. And in this case, we've been looking at deep tech scale-ups. The UK is a small country. California is about 1.7 times our size geographically, but we are massively rich in innovation assets. Universities, PSREs, corporate R&D centres, science and industrial parks, advanced manufacturing capabilities, the NHS, vibrant communities of startups, living labs. And contrary to popular belief, these innovation assets, and here I am differentiating them from research strengths, are actually quite widely distributed across the UK. We've undoubtedly got work to do in several areas, not least to build the technical workforce that we're going to need to power our innovation economy and to improve equitable access to jobs and opportunities associated with it. But if we get that right, we will have an utterly compelling offer to global talent and investment. The UK as an innovation supercluster, a place where you can access extraordinary talent and a world-class research and innovation base within a safe, responsible, trusted and trustworthy environment and an inclusive community. Thank you very much.